should be familiar with our foundational verse for this morning's message, 2 Timothy 3:1. And what Paul was writing to Timothy 2,000 years ago is this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the question that I'm asking you this morning is, are we in the last days? Are we in the last days? Where do we stand in history? Are we at the beginning of history? No, we know that there is history. Many years have gone by, and there's lots of records of what has happened in the past. Are we in the middle of history with much history to come after us? I don't know. All I can do is look at God's Word and go by what God's Word has to say about this very question. Do I see a future for each of us? Yes, I do. I see something that could be considered a future, but I do believe that time is running out for most. I would like for us to take some time this morning to contemplate what the Scripture has to say about the last times. I think that we'll start with something that Jesus said, and you will find that in Luke chapter 21. If you will, turn there to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to begin at verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." What a great verse. What a great verse. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you have nothing to fear. Not a thing. I'd like to start with verse 26 here in this out of this passage. I spent some time looking up with the American Heart Association to get some statistics so we can get an idea of what's going on, okay? Let me share a little bit of what I've learned. Someone dies in the United States every 38 seconds from a heart attack. Someone dies in the United States every 38 seconds from a heart attack. In 2016, there were 363,452 deaths from heart attacks. In 2019, it was estimated that there would be 1,055,000 heart events within the United States. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, men's hearts failing them for fear. And you know what? People are afraid. People are very afraid. And if they don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have a good reason for being afraid. They need to be afraid. And because of that, the heart attack incidence in this country is phenomenal. Question: are men's hearts failing them for fear? And the answer, of course, is yes, they are. Are people scared of what's going on? Yes, they are. They're canceling events like mad around the whole world right now. Over a bug we can't see. We don't know if it's here. Called the coronavirus. The 19th form of a cold virus that man has been able to discern. Can people send their children out to play in the evening without keeping an eye on them? Not anymore. Many of you would play till after sundown when you were children, and nobody had to worry about you. Can't do that anymore. In some cases, a child cannot even walk safely to school. Things are getting bad. Because of some of the wickedness that lives in the hearts of men and women, we've had to install cameras here in the church to protect you as child workers and to protect the children, to make sure that nothing's going to happen to them. It's monitored. AB sitting back there at a monitor right now looking at 16 different cameras. The world's getting to be a pretty mean place to live. How long has it been since we were safe? I'm asking questions that you know, maybe you haven't thought about. But they are legitimate questions. When did things really begin to change? And I believe that the primary change took place in the 1960s. Started in 1963 when the U.S. Supreme Court said, okay, kids can't pray in school anymore. And then in 1964, they said, not even any silent prayer or voluntary prayer. Now, how do you keep a kid from praying when he's doing his final exam? I didn't even know the Lord, and I prayed when I was taking my final exams. That some kind of a miracle would occur and I'd be able to get the right answers. And then in 1967, they said, this book is dangerous for kids to know anything about. Kids can't read this anymore. It's a bad book. And that was the U.S. Supreme Court. And when they took this book out of the school, they took out morality. Because there's not another book in the world that teaches morality like this book. This is the only source of morality. And yet they were afraid of it. You know why? Men's deeds are evil. Their hearts are evil. Prayer is a connection of us to God. This book is a connection of God to us. And it was the U.S. Supreme Court that made that decision for the people of the United States. Were things perfect before that? No. Men lived to sin, always have. But they were rebuked for their sin by the people who knew better, by the people who had a morality, the people who had been taught to live right. At that time, there was still an impartial judicial system. But today, it's broken. People get away with sin. People get away with breaking the law. And even when a man is sentenced to death for murder, it takes 25 or 30 years to carry out the sentence because of all the appeals. What a strange situation. It wasn't like that when I was a kid. Some of you younger ones will think the dinosaurs were still wandering around. They were. I might be one of them. Who knows? When Jesus lived on the earth 2,000 years ago, men sought the answer to the very same question. Are we in the last days? And they asked Jesus that. His disciples asked him that. And in Matthew 24th chapter, he answers the question. Now, we haven't had a real clear understanding of what all he said in that chapter. But let's look at a few of the verses. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 13. I'm going to read that passage. And just file it away in your memory. It says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Are there men deceiving others and leading them to cultist activities? Joseph Smith did with the Mormons. Mary Baker Eddy and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Ron Jones and that fiasco in Guyana. These all claimed to be the Messiah. These all claimed to be representative of Jesus Christ. And if you come back tonight, I'll tell you a little bit about the Pope. We're going to be in the 18th chapter of Revelation tonight. Missionaries used to be welcome all over the world. Today it's very hard to get a missionary into any country. We have missionaries out there that are serving God to the very best of their ability. Has man lost their natural affection for man? 65 million abortions would say yes. 65 million people who could be sitting here not all of them in one place, but scattered around this country, 65 million. 20% of our population have been thrown away by mothers who didn't care. And sometimes under the instigation of the father of that child. We have something that the world doesn't have. We have Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, the one who lived a sinless life, was virgin born, died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and in just a few weeks, we will celebrate his rising again. We have that. Most of the rest of the world does not. You say, well, what about England? They don't. They're closing their churches over there. They don't want missionaries coming in. They don't want anybody telling people about Jesus. You say, oh, that's terrible. We're not far behind them, folks. Not very far at all. We've got Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be afraid like the rest of the world, like the rest of the people in this country who do not know him. That's what verse 13 says. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I hope we're all endurers here. You know, it has to do with love. Jesus loving us and us loving Jesus. But how did that come about? Romans 5:8. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The only thing that you and I have to come to an agreement upon is whether or not we love Jesus enough to believe that he did these things that we're told in the Bible that he did. And if we believe that, we do not have to be fearful for what's going on around us. We don't have to be afraid of the coronavirus. What's the worst thing that could happen? Go home to be with Jesus? You know, the Apostle John told us about this in his first epistle, 1 John, the little thing, the little epistle at the back of the Bible. It's the 1 John 4:17 to 19. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Isn't that wonderful? God loved us. Jesus loved us. We don't have to be afraid. Our hearts should not fail us like it does the rest of the world. We have Jesus, and more importantly, he has us in the palm of his hand. What do we have to be afraid of? You know, for some time now, I've been thinking about some of our missionaries. I'm thinking about the De La Reyes family. They were here a little over a year ago. He stood here with his wife and two of their children. She was expecting a third. How could a man take his family and his beautiful children to a place like China to tell people about Jesus, knowing that at any time he and his family could be put to death by the Chinese? How could he do that? You know what the answer is? He loved Jesus more than he loved him. She loved Jesus more than she loved her. They loved Jesus enough to go do that for him because he first loved them. You know, as things seem to be getting worse and worse day by day, I'm forced to wonder if we are not in the last days. I can't see how things can get much worse. But then I think about who could be elected president of the United States, and things could get worse. They could get a lot worse. Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, wrote the book of Acts, recorded something that Peter said on the day that the church came into being, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ had been crucified, 10 days after he had ascended up to heaven. And it was after the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the assembled believers. And the world needed an explanation as to what was going on. And Peter told the mob this, and Luke records it in the book of Acts, Acts 2, 17 through 21. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Foretell the word. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope everybody here this morning has called on the name of the Lord. If not, you can call out today. The event that we were just looking at was the day of Pentecost, and that was the ordering and the ordination of the church of Jesus Christ, of which we are a part. That was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years. And ever since then, when someone believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saved. Maybe the last days were a lengthy period of years, and we find ourselves living in them. Does the Bible say that it would be a short period? No. It just tells us we should watch and pray. Watch and pray. Are things going to get worse? I think that they indeed will probably get worse. We just don't have to be afraid because we love Jesus and we know that Jesus loves us. Now, there's something that I've told you that we need to do, and that is to give everything that we have or we think we own to the Lord. Everything. Our children, our spouses, our home, our car, our pet, everything needs to belong to the Lord. And then you can't lose anything. Lord, your car's got a flat tire. Lord, your shirt's got a rip in it. Right now, all of us here this morning are living in a cocoon. A cocoon of faith. We come together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and at other times for special occasions. And we have the privilege of coming together to fellowship and to serve the Lord as He directs us. We can and do experience the love of our brothers and sisters as we come together. We are the family of God. We sang that song this morning. Twice. We are the family of God. You are the family of God if you know Jesus Christ. What a great experience to be part of the family of God. Are we in the last days? Yes, we are in the last days. But we don't know when they're going to end. And that's what the disciples wanted to know. They wanted to know, when is this all going to come to an end? And Jesus told them something. They asked him that as he was getting ready to ascend up to heaven. And the disciples were gathered around him and they were going to watch him go up and a cloud receive him out of their sight. They ask him, when is all this going to come to pass? And he had an answer for them. You find it in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, if you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, that power is already in you. And that power is not there to make you comfortable. That power is there to give you the power to be His witness where you are. His witness to those around you. His witness to this whole state through our missionaries, the whole world through our missionaries. That's why we are saved. That's why He saved us. That's why He's provided for us. Jesus didn't answer their question, when is all this going to come about? Instead, He gave them an assignment, and you and I have that very same assignment at this very moment. We are to be witnesses. None of you are in China right now, but the Reyes family is. And they're fulfilling their assignment. You're in North Charleston, South Carolina, and this is where you should be filling your assignment. That's where you're at. That's what He gave you to do. You know, a couple of years before this event occurred in the life of Jesus and His disciples, Jesus gave an answer to His disciples that had been accepted by the church for some 2,000 years. In Matthew 24, 36 through 39, it says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Are we in the last days? Yeah. We are. I don't know if there's going to be many of them or just a few. But we are in those last days. And you and I have an assignment. And we need to get busy. We need to get busy fulfilling this assignment. We're to spend all of our time. We're not to go around looking up. Because you know why? You'll fall over the obstacles that Satan puts in your way. We're to be looking around us for opportunity to minister, opportunity to witness. There will come a time for looking up. But you don't need to worry about that. I'm going to give you the key to that. When should you look up? You should look up when you hear the trumpet. When you hear the trumpet, then it's time. Look up for your redemption. Draweth nigh. Bill Gaither has written a song about that verse. The second verse goes like this: wars and strifes on every hand, and violence fills the land. Still some people doubt he'll ever come again, but the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope so soon. Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Christ is coming back. But we better be busy. I don't think we've got that much time left. Are we in the last days? Yes. We want to use them well. We want to use them for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, for the truth of it, for the power of it. Father, help us. Help us to be doing what you have given us to do in the time that we have left. And Father, prepare our hearts for a time when Jesus does draw nigh and we hear the trumpet of the Lord. Until then, may we be faithful to his command that we be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. And Father, we will praise you for what you permit us to do, for what you empower us to do, and Father, what you help us to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.